Psalms 116, Psalm 116. And we're going to go through the whole psalm, God willing, Creek Don't Rise, and we're blessed to do that. So let's pray again. We're always going to go back to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your book, your holy book. Thank you for Psalm 116. And Lord, we just want to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, as you prepared our hearts, Lord, through the songs to worship you, to come into this wonderful psalm, which is a song and which is a worship song for a poor man that was facing death, and you delivered him. And so, Lord, thank you for this wonderful just chance to hear about it, Lord, and to study it and to see the spiritual truths in it. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we're looking at Psalm 116 and on our route to 150. And let's go ahead and read the first two verses. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So we find this man in great trouble, and this really is a very personal, this Psalm 116 is a personal thank you psalm, personal thank you psalm, for saving the psalmist from death. Now, we don't know who the author was. We can't assume that this is King David. We don't know who it was. And we don't know the occasion. But, in Jonah's experience in the belly of the whale, he actually uses phrases that sound like they come from this psalm. Now, there's two options there. He could have read this psalm and really knew it by heart. And so when he was facing death in the belly of the whale, he could have then sprung into some of the phrases in this psalm in his prayer to God. Or it is possible, being that Jonah was around 700 BC, could have been spit out by the whale on the shore and then wrote down the prayer that he actually prayed in the belly of the whale. And this could be it. And so we don't know that. Scholars just play with that idea because of the similarities in the language that was used. Some verbatim. So let's check that out together. Verse 3 says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So we kind of concentrate on this word hell or Sheol, the place of afterlife, the sorrows of death compassing or surrounding him. And so remember those thoughts, the compassing around, and the word actually hell here used. And let's check out Jonah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 5. Let's go to Jonah. Now Jonah is past Daniel, the major prophet. And we go through a few minor prophets, Amos, Obadiah. And just right after Obadiah, we were in Amos a couple weeks ago, we come to Jonah. And we want to look at verse 2 of Jonah 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And this is actually after Jonah had been thrown overboard from the ship, and the great whale had swallowed him. And he is now repenting before the Lord. He's opened his heart to the Lord. He begins to pray to the Lord. And in verse 2, we'll just go ahead and read that verse. It says that Jonah said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. So this is a line that kind of makes us believe that he wrote it down later, because he's kind of speaking in past tense. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I. So the mentioning of feeling like he was in Sheol or hell. And thou heard my voice. Now let's look at verse 3 a little bit there. It says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods," the water, "compassed me about." And so the idea that we read from the psalmist in 116, that he felt compassed about, and Jonah using the same language here about the waters that were surrounding him, and expecting to not get out of this. I mean, how many of you think that without ever reading the book of Jonah, that if you were swallowed by a giant fish, that you would get out? You know, it's just not something that crosses your mind. This is it, you know. I have a little child's book that I read to the kids that actually it's a pop-up book and a little open the panel book to see what's next. And one of the pictures of the story of Jonah is after Jonah is swallowed by the fish, you open one of the little panels to see what's on the next page, and all you see is two eyes. Completely dark, but just two eyes. And sad eyes, you know. I mean, you know, I'm in here and this is it. And I'm compassed about, and you know, it's like being in hell. And so there's that idea expressed from Psalm 116. And of course, we know spiritually you can feel that way sometimes. Where you're trapped completely, you feel like you're surrounded on every side. It's a very claustrophobic place to be, and there's no way out. I've done it now. I've finally sewn myself in through rebellion or whatever, and there's no way out. But you know, with God, there's always a way out. It's like this sister-mother or mother-sister, I forget her name, Maria. No, it wasn't Maria. She was talking to Maria in The Sound of Music. It says, when God closes a door, he always opens a window. And so, you know, he can do that. The Lord can do that. And God is good. Maybe it's the other way around. When God closes a window, he always opens a door. But anyway, open doors come from God. They certainly do. He opens doors that no man can shut. And he closes doors that no man can open. And it's as simple as that. And so Jonah's in the belly of the whale. Now let's go back to Psalm 116, because I want to show you something that's really almost verbatim quoted by Jonah in his prayer to God when he's in the whale's belly. Let's go to verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 116. It says, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people." So let's look at some key words here. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, call upon the name of the Lord, pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And so let's go over to Jonah now and look at the last part of his prayer. Last part of his prayer. In fact, the last sentence of his prayer pretty much quotes what we just read in Psalm 116. Verse 9, Jonah 2:9. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. And it says this, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the three major thoughts we just read back in Psalm 116 are right here in Jonah. So again, we're not sure that Jonah wrote this, but it is possible. But he does bring up these wonderful thoughts to God the Father as he's praying in desperation in the whale's belly. And look at verse 10 then of Jonah 2. I hope you're still there in Jonah 2. Just look at verse 10 just to get the conclusion, or to, you know, bring closure to what we're reading about Jonah. It says that the Lord spoke to the fish. I love that. Fish. Yes, Lord. You know. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So that must have been an experience. And there he was on dry land. And of course, he went on to do the will of God after that. Before that, he was in rebellion. And God was giving him a second chance. God is the God of second chances, isn't he? Yes, he is. You can really blow it. You can mess it up real good. I've really messed it up. But you go to God and you pray some things like Jonah did, or the psalmist that was about ready to die or afraid to die in Psalm 116, and God pulled him out. Oh yeah. And so it might be the same person. We're not sure. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 116 then, and we want to look at the first two verses, very important verses here, about the love of God and how to really enjoy the love of God to the fullest, to the fullest. It says this, I love the Lord. And why is it, or how is it that I love the Lord? Because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Let's just use Jonah as an example. Jonah's voice was coming out in this pitch dark place where he's surrounded with seaweed and water sloshing around and probably all kinds of smelly gastric juices. Who knows what's in a whale? But the thing is that God heard that prayer. God took the fish all the way to the beach and put Jonah on the beach. So God, he loves God more. Yes. He loves God more and is more willing to obey the voice of the Lord. Why? Because God heard his voice and his supplications. Now, a supplication is a humble, earnest request. When you come to God and ask him for help, help, boy, and he hears your voice and delivers you, man, you're just going to love him the more. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And there's a good lesson right there. We want to get to the place that we call upon him as long as we live. We're still calling upon the Lord. We don't stop. We just get more into it. Because the more you call upon the name of the Lord, guess what? The more love you're going to receive. Now, the love of God is constant, but you receive more of his love. Your heart is open to more of his love if you learn how to call upon him. And so when we sing our songs like we were tonight, we were calling on the Lord. Come on in, Lord. The water's fine. No, we'll actually want to stay away from the water, right? Talking about Jonah. But come on in, Lord, just take over. And so I'm receiving more and more of his love, his power, and knowing him, loving him. To know him is to love him, getting to know you, getting to know all about you. And we just get all loved up. And then what happens then, we can love the more. We can love the more because we're loved. Now this is an important point, and it's given to us again and again in the New Testament. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love him, why? Because he first loved us. I love the Lord because he has listened to my voice. He's heard my cry. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. And I think of 1 Corinthians 11:23 too, this is really important. The Apostle Paul writes this, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you. Paul had to receive of the Lord before he could deliver anything. We have to receive from God. And those that were with Jesus, the Pharisees perceived that the disciples had been with Jesus. And so the more we're with Jesus, the more we're receiving from Jesus, the more we're looking at Jesus, steadfastly upon him, then you see the more we're going to have to offer others, the more power that's going to be there, the more life is there to give, because his words are spirit, his words are life. And so this is what God has designed. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. I want to take you to one more thought on this in the mouth of Jesus himself. And let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. And just keep your hand in Psalm 116. But Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. And this is where Jesus sent his disciples out. And of course, that's what he does with us. He sends us out to our various and sundry different work, and we go, and we, being filled with His Spirit, seek to be alive with what He has for us. And so we go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, and He puts it this way, our Savior puts it this way. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. And it says, as you go. Now remember, he's going to say later in Matthew, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all the nations. And so He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, and then He says this, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Now how in the world can I freely give if I haven't freely received? Boy, it's so important to just allow God to break down the walls in our lives and to just be open to what He has. And He then will cause us to receive from Him. And like the Apostle Paul, that which I've received, I've delivered to you. And then the overflow of what Jesus has given to us will be for the people. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was really resistant. I was raised, man, I've been in so many denominations, you probably couldn't name one that I haven't been part of. I think Sherry and I counted one time, we've been in 14 denominations. Isn't that amazing? You think we're not alive long enough, but, you know, we do have some gray hair going, you know. So it's been a while, but the thing is we ended up with Calvary Chapel because Calvary Chapel preaches the word verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's the way it ought to be done, I believe. Anyway, so what was I going to get to here is I was afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was just running from it. And I went to a retreat with Calvary Costa Mesa, and they said, anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come forward. I was in the back row with Sherry. I grabbed her little hand and ran out of there. I couldn't get out of there faster because I was so afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we ran to our little cabin we were sleeping in, and I was just so stubborn. And one of the brothers saw me run out, and he felt sorry for me. God bless him. And he ran after us, and he came in, and I just crossed my arms, you know, just so resistant. Sitting on my bed. You know, you can have that and all that, not me, you know, I'm level-headed, you know. I was baptized in lemon juice. So, yeah, I didn't say that part, but, you know, I was just very stiff about it all, and, you know. And anyway, so then Leon was his name. He went in the bathroom, and as he was in the bathroom, the Lord was just working on me. The Lord was just saying, when are you just going to lighten up, dude? Open your heart, you know, and this is all paraphrased, but He does speak our language, doesn't He? And just lighten up and open your heart to me completely for what I have for you. I have just blessed things for you. And so when Leon came back, I said, brother, the Lord was speaking to me, and I'm just ready to receive anything God wants for me. And I just got on my knees, and Leon laid hands on me, and I began to pray, and Jesus just baptized me full on in the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in tongues and prophesy and began to receive gifts of the Spirit, and Sherry began to cry, and she was afraid of what was happening to me. And Sherry's a very quiet girl, generally speaking, and I'm a very outward, outgoing guy, so I was doing very outgoing things. I mean, I was laughing and crying and praying in tongues, and it's kind of scary when you think about it. But I was sure having fun. And then the Lord gave me a word from Him for her. Sherry, my daughter, I'm grieved because you're grieved. And God spoke to her heart, she was so blessed that God was grieved because she was grieved. And that very that very weekend, she also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a sweet, sweet Spirit of God. And I was on a honeymoon with the Lord. On the way home in the bus, I was just looking up out the bus window at the clouds and the blue sky and was just loving Jesus, just loving Him, just loving Him. I'll never forget that feeling of just love coming from Him and going to Him. And it wasn't long after that He made me a Bible teacher. And the passion grew and the passion grew. And when I was baptized in a Baptist church, I remember the pastor asked me to give my testimony about, you know, what happened to me. And I put one hand on this side of the pulpit and one hand on that. And I just remember thinking, this is what I want to do. I am through with the world, and I'm going to preach and teach the Bible. And that just happened to me. And that's what God did. And He's good at doing it. But you see, you can't freely give until you freely receive. And so I want to encourage all of you, to open your heart completely to God. Just let Him love you. Let Him honeymoon you spiritually. And just get that wonderful gift of God. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give those the Holy Spirit who ask? And you know what? You get filled up with the Holy Ghost and you overflow. But you know what? We leak. We leak. And so now and again, you got to come back to the well and get some more. I want some more. I want some more. I want some more. Jesus, baptize me again. And He will. And sometimes you got to do it every day. And I like to think that I pretty much need to be asking the Lord every day for His power, especially in these last days. The world's a mess. It is a total 100% bona fide mess. And the more you listen to the news, the more scared you can get. What in the world is going on out there? Well, it ain't good. And unless these days are shortened, not one person would be left alive on the earth. That's what Jesus said. He's got to shorten the days. Because the human race, left to itself, will absolutely kill every single person on the planet. And of course, we know they have the tools to do it. Every time I see an H-bomb go off, you know, or even an atom bomb in a movie or in a documentary on TV, I'm going, man, that thing is really wild. That's one atom bomb can ruin your whole day. I think I saw a bumper sticker like that. So that's the truth. But you see, men have those things now. Wicked men, yeah. Men ordained of Satan, some of them. And so can't be long, even just thinking about it that way. And so the Lord's going to make the work on this earth short, lest there not be anyone left alive. That's from Matthew 24. That's scripture. And so we need the power. You need the power more and more. The power for every hour. You need the Holy Spirit of God to anoint you to face the day, to face this new generation of thinking and all that comes down the pike. So there it is. There it is. Now, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have an afterglow. And we're going to try to do this at least once a month to allow people in the church to be powered up by the Holy Ghost. We stay in the Word. We study the Word. You need the power of God to live the Word. You can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of God to know what to do from day to day. And possibly, and I think probably, more and more and more. If this economy goes, you think it's tough now? It could get a lot worse. If this whole new threat comes true, where 7 million people more lose their houses, we're going down, ladies and gentlemen. We could become a third world nation in a blink of an eye, especially if somebody puts a bug in our computers. What in the world can we even do without computers nowadays? checkers don't even know how to sell food without computers. Anyway, I could go on and on about that. That's a real negative subject. I'm not really in favor of negative subjects so much. But the positive thing is this. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to have to be called on more, especially as doctors get more expensive. We're going to need to get into some of these things we just read about, like healing. You know, I saw a commercial where people were putting duct tape on themselves because they couldn't afford to go to the doc. See, I just had this cancer surgery, and man, I didn't know so many pathologists or the guys that do your testings lived on the planet Earth. We're paying some guy in Texas and some guy in Maine. How did that happen? They sent my tissue all around. And all these guys are sending bills. What is this? You know? So I've got to, in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord, just calm down. What are you going to do? Calm down. Let's get to be a mellow fellow over all this stuff through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because that love factory that he's got up there in heaven, he comes and he just lifts us above it. Yes, he does. He lifts us above it. And it's a mighty thing that he can do through his power and his love. And so, I freely have received, freely give. You've got to freely receive. I just want to encourage you with that. And, you know, at any time, anywhere, you can do this. And we're doing it right now by receiving his word. But we do want to provide a place in our church and a time in our church for folks that are powered out to get powered up with the Holy Spirit of God, waiting upon him, pouring out your heart before him in a corporate way. And so we're going to have these afterglows. Now, this is the way it's going to work. Kathy and the group will come up and we'll do our regular set. And they end at 7:30 and the teaching begins. Never, ever leave the teaching of the word. It's so important. And so at 8:30, then I'll finish at normal time. And then we'll just dismiss those that need to go. And, you know, you just need to go, you need to go, and it's no problem. Then we'll start again. And the children's ministry guy, I just want to tell you guys with kids, has agreed to take the children from the Sunday school area into the fellowship hall and be with them in there so we can have this extra time to be able to wait on the Lord and pray for each other. Let the Spirit of God move freely among us, and God can just anoint you and speak to you personally. And so it's something we want to have available in our church. So the first one will be in 2 weeks because Cheyenne's going on a business trip. And he'll be back a week from next Wednesday, and we didn't want to disclude our brother Cheyenne. He's in the worship team, so he'll be back, and we'll do that. And from time to time, as God leads, we're gonna do this so that when you're in extra special stress and you need a love bubble from the Lord Jesus and a fresh word and a fresh touch from him, you can come and join us for those afterglows. Okay, good. Now, let's go back then to Psalm 116. Now, it goes on, and we read verses 1 and 2 and 3, of course, and we begin now to hear from this poor fellow, whether it be Jonah or someone else, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And of course, there's many situations that you and I might relate to where we felt this way have gone through these tough times. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Aren't you glad that's true? The Lord preserves the simple. It's simple. You know, when you just say it's simple, it's simple. I'm man, he's God, I need him real bad right now kind of feeling. It's just a simple thing. And the Lord preserves the simple, those that are humble before him. The humble shall hear thereof and just be glad that God says what he says. And it is wonderful that he thinks about us. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Now, verse 7 is a verse that just bursts open through the whole Bible. Return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. Now, that word return is not in the NIV translation or other translations, but it is in the King James, and I think it's important, really important to think about the word return when we look at this verse, return unto your rest. We know that Jesus put this very clearly. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we know that later in that same verse I just quoted from Jesus, and it's Matthew 11:28, he actually says, rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Now notice verse 7 again, first part, return unto your rest, O my soul, O my soul. Now what's your soul? Rest for your soul. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your body is just a shell. It's just your body. Your body's going to pass away, and you're going to get a new body. And so there's body, soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So really, your soul is you, the real you. And that's why it talks about saving souls instead of saving bodies, because we don't really want to save this. You know, I mean, just imagine. You get to heaven, and you've lived, you know, a good full life, 80, whatever, 90, 120. Anyway, you've lived a long life, and you're thankful for your body, but it's not doing real good now. And you get to heaven, and you get your brand spanking new body with big pecs and giant biceps, and, you know, talking about men, of course. And for women, it'll be much different. And are you going to say, where's my old body? Where is that wonderful thing? I would just like to kind of drag it around with me, whatever, you know, put it up on the mantle. I could have it stuffed like Trigger, you know. Yeah, but you know, you're not going to do that. You're not going to really want that thing back, but you're going to want the new body. So the real you is not your body. It's your soul. It's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And when your will, part of your soul, gets out of line on earth with your own desires and your own wanderings away from God, we've got to return. See that word? Return, return, return. Return unto your rest. And our rest is the Sabbath rest of Jesus Christ, and we're to labor to enter into that rest. Coming to him, he will give us rest for our souls. So we have to remember that word return. It's really important. So with that in mind, I would like to take you to an Old Testament scripture along these lines. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. So we have the idea of the rest for our soul in New Testament, Matthew 11:28. And now we get it in Isaiah 30, 15, also with the word return attached. So Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Now, Israel had been away from God in a big way. They were worshiping idols. They were sitting on their roofs and drinking a lot, getting drunk a lot. And they were being mean to the poor. These are the things God discusses in the first part of Isaiah. And so here in verse 15, it says this, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And a sad thing with the last four words in verse 15 is about Israel and their history, "and you would not." But we want to be those that say, "Yes, we will." Let's say that. Yes, we will. In any part of my life that is not sanctified and cleansed by the Lord Jesus, that I'm still holding on to in some kind of rebellion against the Lord, I need to return. In returning to Him, in returning to the lover of my soul, the bishop of my soul, my captain. Oh, captain, my captain. For He is the captain of our salvation. But as I return to Him, there's a rest. Oh, boy, I'm so glad I'm back with Jesus. I had a poor guy come running up the aisle one morning after the service. He came running and he said, "Will Jesus take me back?" And of course, my heart, I just like you, just said, that's the way my soul felt. I just said, "Of course, of course." And I was determined to not let him leave here without knowing that Jesus will take him back. And we think of the prodigal son. As the father ran to him and took him in his arms. And that's what Jesus does. That's who He is. He brings us to the point of returning. And guess what happens when you return? Rest. Oh, yeah. Why did I ever leave you, you big lover of my soul, you? Thank you for making me the apple of your eye. Thank you, Jesus, for never leaving me nor forsaking me, as Billy Graham made that movie about the heavenly hound. As he's like, the Lord just has got His scent on, He's after you to get you to return. Return. It's in returning and rest that you shall be saved, in quietness. How precious it is to get quiet before the Lord. And in confidence, if Jesus decides to take me back, I'm back. Here I am back, because Jesus decided to take me back. So I'm very confident about that. And it's a wonderful thing. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You just know that you know that Jesus and you are a majority in any situation. And He will bring the rest and calm our spirits down when we're just really freaking out. He will calm you down. I love to tell the Rocky Road story. Hopefully this will help some of you to give up Rocky Road ice cream. Some of you might say, "Never!" And that's okay if it doesn't affect you like it does me. I had 4 scoops of Rocky Road ice cream one night. And I'm allergic, yeah, right. Ooh. I'm allergic to sugar, and I know that. But, you know, I had the 4 scoops, and sugar and chocolate together are deadly because one has caffeine, and there's all that tons of sugar, marshmallows poking out, nuts. I'm going to make you hungry. Anyway, I had those 4 scoops of Rocky Road ice cream, and I went to bed, and I couldn't breathe. I felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. And I was just getting all freaked out, scared, panic attack. I told Sherry to call the paramedics now, call the paramedics. And she just looked at me with her little quiet face. You know how Sherry is, she's very solid. And she just said, "This doesn't bear witness." And at some point in that whole thing, I fell on the floor to make her convinced. And I was on all 4s on the floor, you know, just going crazy. "This does not bear witness." And she opened up the Bible and she began to read the Psalms to me. And slowly but surely, and I mean slowly, but surely, all of that panic attack business just subsided. I was able to kind of crawl back in bed, you know, my tail between my legs, thanking God I wasn't going to face the guys with the boom, you know, and all the things they do to you. So, calming down, and realizing it was just the Rocky Road ice cream. So that was the Lord using Sherry as an instrument. And the peace in her just kind of just made fun of the panic in me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Not that she was making fun of me. But I mean, it just kind of said, this is really dumb. Get up off the floor, dude, and just go ahead and accept the Psalms and the calmness. Because God can do that. He can do that. He's able to bring the rest, yeah, to bring the peace, to bring it in. So, and it's a good scripture to remember, isn't it? You might want to underline that. In returning and rest. How's it go? I'm going to read it again. In returning and rest shall be, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. And in quietness and in confidence in the Lord shall be your strength. It's a beautiful verse. Something to be remembered, be quoted in time of need. So good, so good. All right, let's go back to Psalm 116. We want to go on here. Psalm 116. And okay, so return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. So this man or woman, whoever it was at the face of death there, was able to see that the Lord began to deal bountifully with them as they returned. And that's what Jonah was doing in the whale's belly. He was returning to the Lord. And he was crying out to God. And he was wanting to be offering the sacrifice of praise back up to the Lord. And so God dealt with him bountifully. He had the whale spit him out on the shore. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. Oh, that's a nice one, isn't it? Delivered my soul from death and my eyes from tears. The tears of sorrow and regret and pain. God delivers our eyes from those tears and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. This first part of the verse 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken. The Apostle Paul actually quotes this verse, this first half of verse 10, in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and it's when he is in the time of trial, and he has been afflicted, and talking about how he dies daily, and walking through the death of Christ and so forth. He said, but I believed, therefore have I spoken. When I have faith in the Lord, and I've experienced his deliverance enough to know that he's going to deliver me again, then I can speak out and be bold about him and his deliverance, even though I'm in the time of need. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. And I speak about the Lord in the way of the deliverer. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. He just had a bad attitude. He was bitter. He didn't want to hear Jonah. We're talking about Jonah now. He didn't want to hear from the Lord at first. And the men on the boat, do you remember the men on the boat in the story of Jonah? They were non-believers. And they were really used by God to try to help Jonah before they threw him overboard, because Jonah told them, you've got to throw me over, the storm won't stop. All men are liars. I'm not listening to those guys. But you know, they had it right. So not all men are liars, and Maybe all men lie from time to time, but you know, God will send different men and different women into your life to help you. And if you're in a demeanor of rebellion, you're going to get bitter at everybody. You're going to get bitter at this and that and the other thing, and you're going to say, all men are liars. He said, I said in my haste. It was a hasty generalization, wasn't it? That's from logic. A hasty generalization. I said in my haste, all men are liars, because he was afflicted. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What can I do for God for all of his benefits? He saved me, baptized me in the Holy Ghost. He's just filled me and used me and led me every day in every way. What can I give back to the Lord for all of his benefits? This man that's been delivered from death is saying. This is a tremendous answer, brothers and sisters, because it's an answer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You just take the cup and you drink. Freely I have received, freely now I can give. God, for no reason inside me, has saved me, has delivered me. I've just taken of his wonderful cup. And what a word to use here in Psalm 116, as we just think about the communion exercise that Jesus has given us to do, to take the cup. And at the end of supper, he took the cup and he says, this is the covenant. What did he say? This is the cup of the new testament, the new agreement in my blood and for the remission of many sins. And we just take the cup and we believe, therefore I have spoken, and we receive that cup of the New Testament, the blood of Christ washing over us. His disciples came to him, John chapter 6, and said, Master, what must we do to inherit eternal life? You know what he said? Believe on him who the Father has sent. Period. Big old period after that. And that's all he said. Believe on him whom he, referring to the Father, has sent. Wow, is that all? Yea and verily, say yea and verily. Yea and verily, and verily means true. Truly, I say unto you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I don't think we fully comprehend it until we get there to see him. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And that receiving of that free salvation, as we've been talking about in the earlier verses, then causes such a love to rise in my heart that I just want to go do what he wants me to do, whatever that is, in the midst of the people. And that's the next verse. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Now, in those days, they would take vows. Jesus later tells us not to swear by the heavens, because that's God's throne, or the earth, because that's his footstool. Yet let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more than that is evil. And so very simply, what this means, verse 14, which is also quoted again in verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, is to simply be about in an obedient way of what he lays on our hearts that he wants us to do in our love response to him. He did it all on the cross. I just take the cup and drink. But now, as he sees the love pouring out of our hearts, and we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, because it says when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power to become witnesses for me in your hometown, Jerusalem, and then your Orange County, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And of course, we probably all know missionaries that have been in the uttermost parts of the world taking the gospel and you go, isn't it just kind of hard on you over there? Oh, no. I love God and God has called me here. In fact, this one brother, you know, you always think about going to Africa, how bad that is. And Sherry and I have been there and there were some bad points, you know, I mean, there's certain big spiders and actually the girls in their shower had three huge spiders as big as your hand. And they named them. It made them feel better. Oh, good morning, Alice. And yeah, they look like starfish. Sherry just would not wear her glasses in the shower and just say, oh, there's starfish on the wall, you know, to make herself feel better. But so there's some tough things in Africa, but the bottom line of it is that you're being used of God and it's mighty and it's beautiful. But you know, different places are scary to different people. Maybe that's because God didn't call you there. There you go. So, but the thing is this one brother, I thought this was so good. He says he's going to deepest, darkest Africa, you know, and he's going to be, you know, on the Barbary Coast or whatever it was. And he's giving his life to the Lord fully. And all of that was just perfect and beautiful and wonderful. And he had a great ministry there. But also, he took a surfboard. And along the coastline, in 90-degree water, the most perfect waves you ever saw. And he had them all to himself. Now, if you've ever been a swimmer or a surfer on a crowded day and getting hit with this and that and watching out for him or her and missing so many waves because there's 16 people lining up for it, and you end up in a place where you can surf all morning and not see anybody, riding the tubes and standing on the nose and all the things he loved to do, it was a gift from God. And he was so blessed. And so you say, isn't Africa hard? Oh, yeah. Just as my 10 toes are over the nose on the board, I'm feeling real bad. And of course, the natives that were there, they just loved it. And it made them even more attractive to be able to share the gospel. So you never know what God's going to do. But the thing is that he wants us to in love, pay our vows, and of course, with obedience to him, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey before all the people, and it's a joy. I wouldn't trade this job for anything. I really do want to die right here. I mean, I'm serious about that. I don't want to go anywhere else. I just love Calvary Anaheim. I love the trees. Someday I want to carve my initials with Sherry in the tree out front. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but we'll see. I love where God's put me. I love that we're not a fancy building, because I don't know if I could really stomach fanciness. I like casual, and so do you, because I just look at the way you dress. You're very casual. If you guys were all wearing tuxedos and gowns, then we'd have to change our attitude, right? But it's just marvelous. I love the playgrounds. I love the kids. The kids fill this building every single day, and man, they are precious. They go up and down the hall singing, the Lord's been good to me, and so I thank the Lord. And you see this little three-year-old singing this song, for the sun and rain, and an apple seed, oh, he's been good to me. Well, that's the story in the song of Johnny Appleseed, and it's about the Lord leading a guy to plant apple trees all over America. But it is beautiful. The whole thing is precious, and I believe that God wants to do that in all of our hearts, and whatever way, shape, or form that comes to you. And it is a total blessing, just a blessing. Marvin, can I share your experience last night, or can you, or can, is it okay to share with them about that? Okay, it's too personal, we won't share that. Great. Some other time. Thank you, brother. I'm so glad you're honest. Thank you. Good. Okay, so where are we? There we are. Salvation. Now, we go on, and it says this. Now, this person came to realize in their affliction that precious in the sight of the Lord, verse 15, is the death of his saints. That even if he had died, he was really afraid he was, but God delivered him, that he now realizes that it would have been okay. because it's very precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. Very precious. Now, I did a Hebrew study deal on this word, precious, because I wanted to know exactly what that meant. What does it mean that it's precious to the Lord when you die? Well, it means two things. It means, very simply, that he's so glad to have you home. And, you know, I've even felt that sometimes people are so given over to the Lord and so blessed in him that God might take them early just so he can squeeze them sooner. I mean, I've felt that before with certain ones. And we don't want to make that a big doctrine or, you know, think, oh, no, I'm not dying early, so God doesn't like me. You know, don't even go there. That's not right. He needs to leave some precious ones to really share their whole lives. But, you know, I've seen some early deaths folks that are so close to Jesus. And I think of Enoch in the Bible. Remember Enoch? He was a very young man. He was only 375 years old. When everybody else was living to 900. And the Bible says, he walked with God and he was not, because the Lord took him. And I just kind of picture that in my mind, as Enoch just going, I love you, Jesus. I just want to really see you. And that's just all I want to do. And so, you know, I know the surf's good and stuff for that missionary in Africa. And everything's going fine for everybody. But you know what? I just want to see your face, Lord. Okay, how about seeing your face? Can I see your face now? How about today, Lord? I know I asked you yesterday, but now I'm asking you because I just love you so much. My heart is breaking to see you. And the Lord said, I can't stand it. Come on home. And so Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God just took him. God just took him. And that'll happen one day at the rapture of the church for everybody that's still alive. Boy, I think our hearts will just begin to grow and just say, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We can't wait. We're really excited today, Lord. Pastor Bill has just preached another sermon that you're coming. Yesterday. No. So we're just waiting. And all of a sudden, he's just going to go. So the father says, go get him, son. Yes! And the son will just go to cloud level and just blow us out of here. I hope he doesn't blow us out of here. Just leave my negative self to say that, but just swoop us out of here, right? Yeah. And just leave the tennis shoes behind, like the t-shirt says so beautifully. Gone, but not forgotten. And there will be. So precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, I got real lengthy on that, but the other meaning from the Hebrew word precious is well timed out. Perfect timing. When it's your time to go, you go. When it's not your time to go, I don't care what happens to you. Just like this guy in the psalm. He thought it was his time, but it wasn't his time. And so he didn't go, but was delivered. But when it is your time, then you'll just go and really be delivered. So it's a win-win situation. Oh Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we do magnify you and praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have been so good to just establish, strengthen, and settle us in you. And Father, we just need you, Lord, and we just want to continue to call upon you, yes, Lord, and take the cup of salvation and drink to freely receive that we might freely give. And Lord, pay our vows in the midst and presence of all the people. So thank you, Father. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May God just keep you close to him. John Luke's heading for the prayer room if you need prayer tonight. God bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.